Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Peruvian-born New York City jazz singer and musician Corina Bartra. We caught up with her from her home in New York to discuss her life in jazz, COVID living, and her new 2022 CD called Amber Light, Luz Ambar. Today, she is considered one of the most important jazz singers in Peru and is a pioneer in merging Afro-Peruvian rhythm with Creole music. She's been all over putting this music out there, and she is very revered throughout Latin America. She is a pioneer, she has great stories, and she enjoys dispensing. Enjoy.
Hey, Joe Domino, Neon Jazz, how are you?
Oh, good, good, good. Hope you're well, good. Too.
Yeah, everything's good. Thanks for taking a minute out today.
Oh, yeah, thanks for calling, yeah.
So let's get into Amber Light. And before we do, you know, we've been in this pandemic and it's really kind of crippled the live music scene. How did you do over that two-year period?
I had some concerts in Peru and a couple of concerts here, too. I recently performed at the Culture Lab in Long Island City, New York, and also the library of Langston Hughes. But yeah, you're right. The music has changed. The music scene has changed. And who knows if it's going to be once again what it was before the pandemics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think things have probably been altered pretty much. Talk to me a little bit about Amber Light. How did this project come about? And you know, having it come out now with the chance to perform live music more, how does it feel?
Kind of like a new approach, because I usually, all my CDs with my vocals, because I have another project which is instrumental, which is a mini big band called Afro-Peruvian New Trends Orchestra. And we're going to be performing at the Shrine in August 4. But this, I always use a piano player and a septet. Sometimes included a guitar, sometimes not. But this time I did it without the piano. I did it with a guitarist from Brazil, Amorim. And then I did it with drums, cajon, the percussion from Peru. And I included occasionally the saxophone. So it was a different approach. It was a great, during the pandemics, to plan out for this project and record. I really recorded during the pandemic. So the musicians were very careful to come with their masks to rehearse. And it was a challenge, but I included some of my originals and also arrangements from traditional Creole or Afro-Peruvian music, too. Yeah, Sending the Clowns, too, which is a jazz standard. I think it was composed by Victor Young, but I did an arrangement utilizing Landó, which is an Afro-Peruvian rhythm.
So, obviously, as we've established, you're from Peru, and I'm curious, talk to me a little bit about your childhood and how not only music, but more specifically jazz, became your passion.
Well, it's because my grandfather, Arturo, that he liked jazz and he liked to play cards and listen to jazz. That was his favorite pastime. He played music of Charlie Parker and also the Count Basie Orchestra. So I started really listening to him. I was also wanting to once come to the U.S. and study jazz with the masters. So that's how I also start to realize that both in terms of rhythms, come from the same source, which is Africa. So they could be blended smoothly. One day I realized my wish and I came here to New York and I studied in some colleges. For example, also when I went to Queens College, I had an ensemble teacher, Roland Hanna. I remember he was great. I started learning also recording with great jazz musicians, top-notch jazz musicians. Like when I recorded my first CD with my vocal, it was a quartet with Kirk Lightsey on piano and Santi Dubrian on bass and Clifford Barbaro, who also once was the drummer of Joe Hendrix and Betty Carter. Clifford Barbaro. And I also included in a couple of pieces a cajon player, Pucho Salas, who was living in New Jersey. So I ventured into doing a CD which also included a couple of songs. One of them I wrote, Yambambo, and the other also, I think it was Invitation, where I included also some Afro-Peruvian rhythms.
So did you always have a dream of coming to America, and more specifically New York?
Yeah, I wanted to come to New York because it was like the center of culture, let's say. And it was an exciting place that I look at pictures and photos. And yeah, I was always dreaming of coming into New York, you know. I thought it was a very exciting place to be and study and learn. I think in New York City, you not only learn at schools, which great jazz musicians teach at these schools that I went to here, like Mannes College of Music, and then they blended with a new school. And then I also went to Long Island University in Brooklyn campus, where I used to live in Brooklyn too. And then I studied at Queens College, and also working with great musicians. For example, in my CD Travelogue, I work with a great drummer called Steve Barrios. He used to play with Apache Man of Jerry Gonzalez, the leader. And also I worked with a great sax player in that CD, and unfortunately he passed away with leukemia, Thomas Chapin. So and also the piano was Eddie Martinez, and for a while he was the pianist of Gato Barbieri. So I always included on my recordings great people I can benefit from, and also have a very incredible sound.
So what was the first live jazz show you saw when you got to New York that really blew you away?
The first live show I got that blew me away was seeing Sarah Vaughan before she passed away. That was really moving, because I always loved, all her recordings really, but particularly I love that CD title, How Long Has This Been Going On? So what was so moving is that she asked, the audience, what would they like to hear? And I raised my voice and said, How Long Has This Been Going On? And she sang that song, and tears were coming out of her eyes. So it was really moving. And I also went upstairs. I sneaked, because you were not supposed to go upstairs, because she was resting in a cushion in between the sets. And I said, say hello to her. She said hello to me, and she asked me, I told her I also wanted to sing, and that I come from Peru, and then somebody told me that was enough. She was not feeling well, so they sent me downstairs again, you know. But that experience was amazing. I always remember that.
Talk to me a little bit about what you like the best about being a performer and being a musician, this process of being a professional. What is it that you look forward to the most?
Well, what I like is the possibility that I had of doing something adventurous, like fusing Afro-Peruvian and also Creole music from Peru, which is also different than Afro-Peruvian. And for example, it has another groove that I've been introducing. And that is a groove also that I find that is more challenging for musicians, which is the marinera, which has a very laid-back feel at the beginning, but then it turns fast. But that groove, I find that is more challenging to musicians. They tune in more to the festejo, which is a fast groove from the Afro-Peruvian music in Peru and the Lando. And that, what I find exciting about being a musician was more the adventure, because I have different music projects, and in each of these music projects, I explored a different aspect of myself as a musician. For example, I also have a project called Prisma, which I do more in Peru, because it has a keyboard, an electric guitarist, and a quena player from the Peruvian Andes. But I also infuse it in some tunes with Afro-Peruvian grooves. But in each of these projects, I explore a different aspect of myself as a performer and as a composer, a songwriter, whatever you want to call it. So that's what I find more exciting, the challenge of exploring and also getting myself into something that, it's underrepresented, really, in the music here, right? And also in the music of Peru, because Peru is a very conservative country and people are very tied up to the traditional music more, or the very commercial kind of music where you can just go and drink and dance, you know, have some fun.
Yeah. So speaking of, if you do come to Kansas City and perform Amberlite, how would you pitch the show? How would you explain what a live show would be like to get people in Kansas City to come see you live?
I would include a couple of more standards that they know too, classical jazz standards with the rhythms from Peru. And I would tell them that they're going to expand their music boundaries, and they're going to explore new territory in terms of music, and that they're going to also journey to Peru, and they're going to have a great time, you know, leaving their cozy known place or backgrounds. I would just introduce it like that, and also I also sing some tunes in Portuguese too, like last time I sang this tune written by Chico Buarque, Vai Passar, also by Joe Deodato. I sang Ara, which is titled in English would be The Leap of a Frog. So I sing a couple of Brazilian songs which people here are more familiar with. So it's not all like something unknown to them, that we're going to be venturing in a totally unknown world, right? Like this music that is not widely promoted here, right? Or elsewhere, or in Europe. I mean, when I go to perform in Europe, somehow, I think that people in Europe are more, they all appreciate world music. While in the U.S., not everybody is, explores world music as much as in Europe, for example. Why is the reason? I don't know why,
It's been like that for quite a while, for sure. Karina, thank you for opening up about the new album, about your life and music. I appreciate it. Good luck with everything as we move forward.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for inviting me to your great program.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest singers and players in New York, Kansas City, Peru, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Karina for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for all things Neon Jazz, go to TheNeonJazz.blogspot.com. And for all things Joe Domino, JoeDomino.com. And there, you can donate via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.